We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Rates.
Thank you. There are two sides to every question, except in My Music, where there seem to be at least four, always. Here to prove it are the two resident teams, John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Do they know the questions in advance? People often ask me, and of course the answer is they don't, but I know in advance the sort of questions they can answer. At least I think I do. Let's find out. John, a little harp music introduces your first question. From a suite for harp, John, you'll have recognised the composer. The question to you is, what is and where might you have found a Shoebritanniard? And isn't that an awful word?
You might have found it at Snape. That's where, right, the Alborough Festival takes place.
Yes, a Shoebritanniard.
Oh, mixture of Schubert and,
yes,
Britain.
Awful, isn't it? That was from Britain's suite for harp.
Yes. That was English cabbage.
Schubert. Schubert, Ellis told, yes, me that, you know, that piece was written for him, that suite for harp by Benjamin Britten. And after he'd played it once or twice, Britten said, I notice, Ossian, that although you're playing the notes absolutely right, you're not actually playing what I wrote for the left hand with the left hand. Mm. And Ossian said, well, I thought it might be a little, you know, it was a little... So Britten said, would you just once try it, the way I wrote it? So he tried it, he said, oh, it's better, it's better. It's amazing that Britten knew, yes, when he wrote music, exactly what finger was going on which...
No,
thing.
No harpist, he couldn't be a harpist. He just studied the harp in order to
studied
write.
Studied the harp. Julian Bream said exactly the same thing. Yes. Wrote a piece for him, said, well, I think, you know, that's not going to work. Britten says, well, have you tried this with the left hand, that right hand? Blimey, he's right, you know.
Frank, the same composer, this comes from his gorgeous Hymn to St. Cecilia.
W.H. Auden.
Love that, but that's not the question.
Not the answer.
It is words by Auden, yes. Frank, the studio where that was recorded was built some years ago. In fact, it was begun in the year 1446. Henry
studio?
VIII presented the woodwork, yes. Where is it? Where was it recorded?
Well, it's either Eton or King's College, isn't it?
Yes,
or
try the latter.
King's, ah, yes. It's King's College,
King's
Steve.
College, Cambridge, yes.
King's College, Steve.
Yes. I don't know if you know, Frank, but if you don't, you'll like it. Ruskin, do you know how he described King's College Chapel? Ruskin said, King's College Chapel looks like a billiard table with its legs in the air. Do you know it does? It does, with those things... sticking up with the corner.
I like it.
Well, yeah, so do I, but that's what Ruskin said. Anyway. Ian, for you, some chamber music, a theme from Quartet No. 2 in D by a 19th century composer. Ian, who was the original composer and what did he not call that tune?
Well, tracking back from Forrest and Wright to, yeah, Borodine,
yes,
he did not call it Bangles, Baubles and Beads.
He didn't even call it Baubles, Bangles and Beads. No, that's absolutely true. That's what Borodine didn't call it. That's a lovely bit of string quartet writing, though, there. Dennis, when Mozart was very small and writing his first orchestral score, he said to his sister, remind me to give the horns something to do. A later musician, who you hear now, gave the horns plenty to do.
¶¶
Whose idea was that, Dennis?
Well, the idea was a man who was a formerly a classical violinist called De Groot and became a very, very good variety performer with a most magnificently distinctive voice called Stanelli.
Yes, that's right.
And he called it his hornkestra. Yes. And he had all sorts of motor car horns. And it was the days, of course, when they were bulb horns.
Yeah.
So you could get the different notes. And he very rarely had much trouble tuning them. You know, when other people did these kind of things with the glasses of water, they were always going around tipping the water and there was always an evaporation problem. But I worked with him quite a few times. He never seemed to take trouble tuning them at all. No, he seemed to be in tune.
It was a kind of traffic jam session.
Yes. Did you recognise the tune? Then?
Yes, it was Peter,
every senorita. That's right. Peter. That's right. Just in case anybody's wondering, can I just explain, Ian, although his name was De Groot, he wasn't the De Groot who was the famous violinist.
No, but he was a member of the
De Groot.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's right. We go on to some middles now, middle bits. First of all, John, I'm going to play this on the piano. Something operatic, it's a middle bit. In fact, it's a bit of the middle bit. All right?
Do ask what we need.
Yes. It's almost certainly Puccini.
Yes. It goes on. It's got to be a long time, folks.
It's the one that the Russians call Bogem.
Yeah.
Bogem.
Or Puccini called Bohème. Yes. Which aria? Early on.
Isn't it, They Call Me Mimi?
Yes, it's from They Call Me Mimi. You just about scrambled them up. Frank, a middle bit for you.
Yes, that's let's the one. Put out the light and go
to sleep. Yes, that's your mark. Yeah. Middle bit for Ian.
Out of cigarettes.
And the two.
Holding hands and yawns.
Let's
put out the light and
title.
Two sleepy people.
Two sleepy people. Rather like yours in a sense. Yeah, that's right. Dennis, here's yours.
So I went back and kissed her, and when we looked around, the room was singing love songs and dancing up and down. Now we're both so happy because at last we found we just couldn't say goodbye.
Just couldn't say goodbye. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I just couldn't get to the line.
That's right.
Right.
Eight tunes, eight titles. John and Frank are to name the first four songs in my piano medley. Ian and Dennis, the second four. Here we go. Well, the title speech, John and Frank. John, the first one.
Clarinet quintet.
By
Mozart.
Mozart. Mozart clarinet quintet. Half a mark, yes. Frank,
yes.
Didn't get it, did you?
Never heard them.
It's all you have. Yeah, the sidewalks of New York. East side, west side, all around town.
Oh, yes. Yeah. East side, west side, all around.
That's got
very good.
Now, then came...
I Belong to Glasgow.
Thank you very much. And the fourth one John would know, I think. Known in Hollywood as In the Heart of a Lonely Poet.
Well, known in the London Orchestra as The Bleak Waltz from the Serenade in C, Opus 48 by Tchaikovsky.
Four from your side. Ian or Dennis, the first one?
She was one of the early birds.
Yes, thank you. And then... No.
Yeah, I found... Well, isn't that the verse of Chiribiribi?
Yes, that's right. The da-da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen.
Yes. John and Frank have 1.5 in that round, Ian, and Dennis have 2. Right.
Come down with you.
Frank, would you like to make a young lady very happy?
Always. Could you?
Yes.
That wasn't the question.
Well, I think this is lovely. The fact is, one of our supporters, Miss M.H. Brown of London West 14, was in a music shop when someone said to the assistant, "I want a piece of music. I don't know what it's called, but it starts with 3 bangs. What could it have been? Our friend Miss Brown has been worried ever since as to what piece of music the girl had in mind. It starts with 3 bangs, she said. So I'd like nominations, please. John.
Well, the first one I think of is a piano duet, sonata by Mozart, which goes blong, blong, blong.
Yeah.
Blong,
very,
blong,
very
blong.
Possible. Yeah. Frank, 3 bangs. What could she have meant?
I think perhaps any song by the Andrews sisters. Because they wore their hair in a...
I'll buy that, yes. Ian, 3 bangs.
The only 3 bangs I can think of are at the beginning of the overture of The Force of Destiny.
Yes.
Which they say is like fate knocking at the door.
Yes. Sort of, although the real fate knocking at the door, the Beethoven 5, is of course 4 bangs, isn't it? It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
It's inflation.
Yes, your 3 bangs. Inflation.
I think there's just 3 in the.
Yeah, that's
in the
right, in
the
Force of Destiny. Dennis, 3 bangs? Any ideas?
Well, bang is an onomatopoeic word which could be taken very loosely. I think she meant clang. Clang, clang, clang.
Went the trolley.
Or there was a song. Do you remember a song that went bim bam boom?
Yes.
Did it right. Bim bam boom?
Yeah. On the whole, I'm inclined to think what she meant was.
That would never call it a bang, no.
No. All right.
Good one. Bang, 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 here comes the boogeyman.
But Nellie Wallace used to sing a song that did actually start with the word bang, 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 the hunter and the squire, the something and the something.
Well, that's the one she
meant. That's right.
That's the one she meant, yeah.
Well, Nellie Wallace.
Well,
Ian's mother, grandma.
She was a great artist, and I can claim no relationship at all, unfortunately.
I think she should get it, because it'd be marvellous if it's for her grandmother or something who's expecting Forza del Destino, and she'd get Nellie Wallace.
Quivering. Yes. We are actually going to turn now to the subject of opera, grand opera. Quite enough of that. It comes from one of the Hoffnung Festival records. You, Ian, you were on the show, and John, you may have remembered it.
A good pull-up for Meistersinger.
Yeah. John.
Carmen, here, reference. You got
yes.
it?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you got it. Good. Fine.
John, here is an operatic doctor boasting of his importance. Who is he?
Victor Voyager, Spada, Victor Voyager, Spada, Victor Voyager, Spada, 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 Sp
What do you want to know? The name of the conductor? Vittorio Gui.
Yes, the recording, the famous Glyndebourne production.
Yes, and the singer is called...
Nellie Wallace.
Qui est costui? Is the one character says, who is this fella?
Ah,
doesn't he?
So
it's Ian Wallace, actually.
Playing the part of Dr...
Dr. Bartolo.
Bartolo in Rossini's Barbara of Seville, yes. Frank, 4 years before that, Ian recorded this under the baton of Sir Malcolm Sargent.
As bright will shine Great Britain's rays, as in King George's glorious days, as bright will shine Great Britain's rays, as in King George's glorious days.
Frank, the composer, please, and the work it comes from. Can you manage that?
The singer is Ian Wallace.
Mark. I'd heard tell of that, yes.
This is sort of quizmanship rather than knowing it, but I suspect it's Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes. Shall we give him 5 bonus points if he gets the title of the correct opera?
My contact with Gilbert and Sullivan is tenuous, to say the least. I once took part in a Portsmouth festival. It seems improbable, but I did. It was a marvellous idea of having an orchestra and me, and I read Gilbert's poems before he met Sullivan, and the orchestra played Sullivan's music, which Gilbert had nothing to do with. Could it be I learnt this?
5 marks. Got it. And you... I knew you'd work your way to it somehow, and you did it, yes. Ian, I won't embarrass you by playing you one of your own recordings. Instead, this is a tenor. Can you identify him? Any ideas, Ian?
Well, you see, he's improved so much those days, but the timbre is unmistakable.
Yes, it was.
John Amis.
That's right, John Amis. As Ishmael in Bernard Herrmann's operatic version of Moby Dick.
I think it was at that session that Benny Herrmann stopped the orchestra and said, Horns, why aren't you playing? And he said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Herrmann, it's very difficult to read. It's written in pencil. He said, what do you want it written in, neon?
Well, Dennis's question. Dennis, here's John again, further on in the story of Moby Dick.
Blimey.
Dennis, the original Moby Dick, the Herman Melville novel, the characters had splendid names. Can you recall a couple of them?
Yes, they all had strange names.
Yes.
There was Ishmael, which
yes.
John was asking to be called. There was Ishmael's friend, who was the that cannibal who was all tattooed, Queequee.
Queequee,
Captain
right.
Ahab.
Yes.
How many?
Starbuck.
Actually, the one question. This came up in a sister program that we do occasionally called My Word. Something to do with Moby Dick. And afterwards, Frank and I were having an argument. Well, not an argument, we're having a discussion. What does the word Moby mean? And we never found out, and we're open to suggestions which should be sent to Steve Ray.
Oh, don't.
Yes.
Because
you know they've done a new version of that, on which the...
Well, I'm not surprised.
On which the instead of the whale, it's a large motorcycle, and it's called Moped Dick.
Well,
a bit laboured, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. When you do send your postcards addressed to Dennis Norden, tell him that the other people with nice names were Starbuck, Dagoo, Tashtego, Pip, Parsi, and of course the ship was the
Pequod.
Pequod, that's right. Yes. 4 songs now that you may have forgotten, if this. Closing section of the show were an LP. That's the title you'd give it, four songs you may have gotten. The first, for John, is one that I must admit I hadn't forgotten so much as overlooked. It's Ossian Lita. It's from Massenet's opera, Werther. Just this little, rather lovely section. Right, John?
Pourquoi me réveiller au souffle du printemps? Pourquoi me réveiller sur mon front je sens tes caresses et pourtant bien proche la trace des orages et des tristesses? Pourquoi me réveiller
Frank's song is not from opera, but from the repertoire of Gus Ellen. It's a great big shame. Right, that note. Okay, no, Frank?
Not too fast.
Oh, right.
I might stumble and fall.
It's a great big shame, and if she belonged to me, I'd let her know who's who. Nagging at a fella who is 6'4" and only 4'2". They hadn't been married not a month nor more when underneath the thumb went Jim. Oh, isn't it a pity that the likes of her should put upon the likes of him?
Dennis has a song about the variations in time between Italy and here, wherever here may be, when it's night time in Italy.
I couldn't, if you put a pistol to my head, tell you what the tune is. Just remind me.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Dennis.
But I like to know the tune I'm not doing.
When
it's night time in Italy, it's Wednesday over here. Oh, an onion in Sicily make the people cry in California. Why does a fly? How is a bee? What is a wasp when he sits down to tea? If you talk to an Eskimo, his breath'll freeze your ear. When it's night time in Italy, it's Wednesday over here.
Songs like that.
No. Anyone have forgotten a haunting melody like that?
Yeah, well, they don't write songs like Ian's. It's a perfectly splendid song. It's older than both of us put together, and that's pretty old, isn't it? Yes. One of those deeply serious songs about a trade calling or profession, the diver. Right.
Oh, yes, that's it. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. In the caverns deep of the ocean cold, the diver is seeking a treasure of gold. In
I've got some water in my mouth.
In the caverns deep of the ocean cold, the diver is seeking a treasure of gold, risking his life for the spoils of the wreck, taking rich gems from the dead on her deck.
and fearful such sights to the diver must be. Walking alone, walking alone, walking alone in the depths.
Now I can either go up or down.
Down, down, down. Should have gone up, Ian. Should have gone up. Never mind. Sleeping alone in the depths of the sea. That's all we have time for. The score, thanks to a bit of bonus markery, a victory this week for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.